I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. If you were in charge of recruiting volunteers to participate in an important project, you would not pitch the idea to them by describing all of the risks involved. You wouldn't start by telling everybody how hard it's going to be. That's just not the way to go about recruiting people. Everyone knows that if you want dedicated volunteers, you start with a lot of enthusiasm. You tell them how great it's going to be, how necessary and important this kind of work is, how needed they are. You would tell them that their unique gifts are exactly what we need for the success of this project. You'd tell them how great it's going to be to accomplish the goal. That's how you get a good volunteer, right? Jesus has the opposite approach. Behold, today I send you out as lambs amongst wolves, he says to his disciples. I'm sorry, but if Deacon Lauren called you up and said, I'm looking for some volunteers for vacation Bible school this summer, you know, to be sheep amongst wolves, what would your answer be? I know what I would say. Thanks, Lauren. No thanks. Jesus has to recruit and train leaders to complete an important project. They are to travel to all of the regions of Galilee, to everywhere that Jesus himself intends to go. And he doesn't mince words here. His directives are simple, practical, and frank. They have hard work to do. They're to go into towns that are unfamiliar and make friends with strangers and talk about their faith by saying things like, the kingdom of God has come near. And he sells them on the idea with that statement, I'm sending you out as sheep amongst wolves, which sounds a whole lot like we are nothing more than wolf bait. Is that all that we are? In ministry, wolf bait, vulnerable sheep sent out to prepare the way for Jesus only to be rejected and snapped up by wolves? Is discipleship really about reaching out to the ones who will ultimately reject us? Sometimes it feels that way. I will freely admit to a feeling of defensiveness whenever I find myself talking about my faith to a stranger. Sitting on an airplane, for example, waiting for takeoff, and I always am sitting next to the person who's just read the latest religious novel, and they really want to talk about it. You better believe that I am a cautious little sheep waiting for the wolf to strike. At any moment, he might say something that I find offensive, or he might start blabbering on about Jesus in a way that makes me think we're not talking about the same person. And then, once we realize that we fundamentally disagree about God, we're stuck together for hours, sitting on a plane together. It's a vulnerable position to be in. Be out in the world representing your faith. And, you know, sometimes people respond lovingly, and sometimes, well, they reject you. Jesus goes on in his recruitment speech, and he asks the disciples to say to the people, first, peace be with you. So Jesus' appeal to them, the nature of their work right off the bat, is public speaking. They go into a town, enter a house where they don't know anybody, throw open their arms and say, peace be to this house. And then they wait to see if the peace will rest on that person, and then the real relationship will unfold and more ministry will occur. But the initial contact must be to talk, to open your mouth, to speak boldly and publicly about the peace of God. One of the top 10 fears that people have is public speaking. Jerry Seinfeld once said that, according to most studies, public speaking is the number one fear. Number two is death. So that means, to the average person, if you're going to a funeral, you're better off in the casket than giving the eulogy. It's the craziest thing, but there's so many of us out in the world who are so afraid of having our voices be heard. Even people who do public speaking for a living, lawyers, professors, preachers, we all feel that anxiety, that risk sometimes, because it's a very hard thing to do, to talk to strangers. How do you know how your message is going to turn out? You don't want to be rejected. And if you feel that way, if any of this resonates with you, if you feel that way about your faith, you might feel more like a sheep than a disciple, because as it turns out, being a disciple has everything to do with making that risk in how you talk about Jesus. In the story, these 70 men that Jesus sends are asked to make a risk, to put themselves out there. They are pushed to a place of total vulnerability. They're not to carry any luggage or clothes or shoes or a handy GPS to help them find their way. They're to shed everything that makes them feel comfortable and protected. These disciples are now out in the world to be recipients of grace, guests in the homes of strangers, travelers constantly on the move. It's almost as though Jesus wants them to experience what it's like being him. Ministry is not about rejection, but it is about getting in touch with that risk, with vulnerability. We cannot express what's important about the core of our faith unless we open our mouths and tell our story. We cannot be disciples unless we're willing to risk something of ourselves, to go where we're challenged a bit, to be a stranger in the need of a home, to be an outsider longing to connect. And that posture does open us up to some possible rejection, but it also allows for the possibility that the Holy Spirit might be there ahead of us, might be waiting in that other person, waiting to connect, waiting to receive what it is that we have to offer. And when we do this, when we reach out with our story, we learn that God's world does need voices of peace, especially right now. And we can be those voices. We can enter into an adventure of mission, when we do that, because we are becoming Jesus' followers in this bold and new way. This is a snapshot into the life of Jesus, the itinerant preacher, prophet, teacher. So last week's reading in Luke, we heard that Jesus was interacting with someone who said to him, "I will follow you wherever you will go." So this week, it's like Jesus is calling that guy's bluff and saying, "You really want to see what it's like to follow me? Here it is. Because I'm forever traveling and meeting strangers and telling them about the love of God." And today, as he's sending out these 70 people, it's almost as though he's opening up his daily diary to them when saying to them, "This is what it's like. Monday, I wake up, walk to the next town, make some friends, speak some peace. Tuesday, I wake up, I shake the dust off, I go to the next town." It's a glimpse into what it is like to be the Son of God, totally vulnerable to how the world will receive his message. He's forever a nomad, and yet forever at home in the world, because he knows the mission that he has been given. Jesus knows what he's really there to do. And it sure isn't to go into a community and to figure out where he's going to be most comfortable. Do we know our mission? Or are we more concerned with where we'll be comfortable? Are we unwavering as Jesus was in carrying out the mission of God? Because we can be like meek little sheep waiting for the wolf to strike. Or we can be willing to go where we are uncomfortable and to speak peace to those who are willing to welcome it, and especially to those who are really hungry to hear it. God has a dream, Verna Dozier says, and that dream is to unite all people back to God, to bring us all back home, to heal everything that is broken in the world. And that dream of God is also that we would not just be worshipers, but followers of Jesus. That dream is why those missionaries were sent into Galilee in the first place. They're there to carve out a place in people's hearts to be followers of Jesus too. They went into all of these towns to carry out the dream of God in all of that place that's outside their comfort zone. And so we are a part of that dream too. We're missionaries, participating in that peace of God, participating in carving out a place in people's hearts to be followers of Jesus. Whether we're sitting on a plane or in a restaurant or raking leaves in our front yard, we all have opportunities all around us to meet strangers and, in so many words, to say, "Peace be with you." To maybe be interested in your fellow plane passengers' ideas about the second coming of Christ. To offer concern for someone who's just lost a job or a treasured relationship. To notice the waitress working a double shift who is totally exhausted and could really use some kindness. To invite your neighbor to come with you to church. I will be the first to admit that this is maybe going to feel a little weird. We might feel a little bit like sheep amongst wolves. But what we're offering is the peace of Jesus, that deep and immense peace that defines our faith. Anne Lamott wrote that peace is joy at rest, and joy is peace on its feet. Peace is joy at rest. Joy is peace on its feet. What would it be like to take that peace on its feet out into the world? If we can tap into what it is about our faith that brings us that joy and peace, then we can be missionaries to other people on our feet with that joy in our lips and peace in our hearts. And to be clear, this is all our responsibility, not just the clergy or the really committed laity here at St. Paul's. This is everybody's job. Even if you're new here, even if you're new to the faith or new to St. Paul's, God's calling you to do this because we're all the ministers of the church and we're all responsible for extending the peace of God into the world. One more bit of good news is that it's not all up to us. Jesus is coming up after us, following up behind us, after we have offered peace to people. So the result is not up to us. We just have to offer the peace to those we meet. He'll do the rest. He doesn't expect us to have it all figured out, just like the disciples today didn't have it all figured out when they left to go to Galilee. Jesus doesn't expect us to do this perfectly. He just wants us to carve out a path for him, carve out that path in other people's hearts, to offer the peace that we have known in Jesus to others. That's it. The rest is up to him. Jesus is the Lord of the harvest, not us. We're simply laborers in the kingdom. That is, if we're willing to put down our fears and our creature comforts and all the stuff we think we need, and just open our mouths and speak peace. Amen.